This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sabres get the win last night over the Ottawa Senators, who are in a playoff spot, but they're not safe yet, so that's a big loss for them. Get to the last night's game. Get to some individuals as well. Lindy Ruff winning his 600th game as well. We now bring on Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Paul, hopefully, I don't know, there's probably a little bit of snow where you are. There's a light dusting, though.
Yeah, I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, it's not great. Not great. So, from last night's game, Paul, they get the win. I kind of wanted to start with you on the tribute video, like half kidding about it. Was it weird at all that they split the video between Gilbert and Cousins? Like, were you expecting that, or is it not a big deal?
Yeah, it was a little weird, I think, just because Gilbert hadn't been there that long, and Cousins had, so... It was mostly Cousins. It was just a little bit of Gilbert in there in the middle of it, maybe, you know, 15, 20 seconds or something. So it mostly was. I don't really worry about that stuff all that much, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice thing for Cousins, and I saw some people were upset about it on Twitter and stuff, and that's fine. But as I said, I don't worry about that stuff all that much.
Yeah, it was right, even half kidding about it, because he still got the video and the most of it anyway. So they get the win, and a goal by Jacob Bernard Docker, which, you know, he's wearing the number 24, so that's kind of funny too. He scores against his former team. I know he spoke to the media after the game too, Paul. What have you seen from him so far? He's kind of the throw-in to the trade, but, you know, we've seen some nice things so far. The shot was a nice one, right? Posting in, so probably a pretty cool moment for him.
Yeah, a goal and two assists. He almost seemed embarrassed talking about it. It's like, well, guys, that's really not me.
Yeah, don't expect the point of the game.
He's not Bobby Orr or anything like that. I mean, it just has happened that, you know, he got two assists the other day and then wound up with a goal in this game. But, you know, he wanted to caution people. Don't expect that he's going to turn into Rasmus Dahlin or something offensively. So, but he, you know what? He's been pretty solid. And the thing I think that almost is a little surprising is he hadn't played a game since December 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in all three games that he's played, he's just been a solid D. You know, nothing spectacular, but he hasn't made too many glaring errors or anything like that. And he just, you know, has played a solid D for him, which is what they need. I mean, they need somebody to come in and play good defense because that's was something they haven't been able to do a lot of this year. So, you know, I've liked what I've seen so far. I just think, you know, he's steady. You don't really notice him all that much, which is good because you're not sitting there going, what are you doing here? Why'd you make that play or something like that? I mean, he just, you know, is a steady influence out there.
Paul, let me ask you about Zach Benson. Saw some elevated play on the top line with Kulik and Tage Thompson, and you know the Thompson goal in that game. I mean, start to finish, really feels like it's all facilitated from Benson himself. He had a couple of other great plays. One of his shots, turnover in the offensive zone, and gets a quick shot on goal. Like I just. Whether or not Benson is going to see more of this role on the top line with Tage Thompson, you know, for the final 12 games or so, it doesn't, I guess for me, the thing that I appreciate about Zach Benson is he's kind of one of one on the roster. There's not a lot of other guys that are willing to do what he does, you know, get in front of the net, tries to go to the corners and win battles. I mean, on the shift, he won like two different battles, gets a steal and makes a great pass to Tage, who's waiting in front of the net. Like, is that something you'd like to see them experiment with maybe for the remainder of the season to see what he looks like in more of an impact role?
You know, he gets that opportunity now and then on that line or on a different line, and they just bounce him around the lines. He doesn't necessarily, you know, have a home when it comes to the lines. It just, you see him in different places. It's usually not center, but on either wing. And and the thing is, you know, I always say to myself, he's 19, but he was a big scorer in junior. You know, 36 goals, 98 points in 60 games his last year with the Winnipeg Ice. And, you know, that's one of the reasons the Sabres, of many, that they made him the 13th overall pick in 2023. And I always wonder to myself, well, is that you know, as he gets a little bit more mature and a little bit stronger, is that scoring going to carry over for him? It's just like, look at that first goal he scored last year. You know, it was just a gorgeous goal.
Yeah.
He kind of pulled the puck behind and you know, it was just like a slick goal that he wound up scoring. So it makes you wonder. It doesn't seem like maybe he's going to have quite as many points this year. Maybe like last year he had 11 goals and 19 assists for 30 points. This year he has 10 and 14 for 24. So he might not have quite as many, but you know, you also measure what he does. Like, he's always winning battles against guys who are bigger than him, because almost everybody in the NHL is bigger than him. But look at the battle he won on that goal that you just talked about. Zetterlund behind the net, he just goes in there, and it wasn't even a close battle. I mean, he just went in there, dominated the battle, comes up with the puck, finds Thompson in front, gives him a nice pass, and it's in the net. So that his motor's always running. You know, he's always making the other team mad. I mean, he's one of those rats on the ice. If he's not in the middle of something, he gets there fairly quickly and gets in the middle of it. You know, so it's interesting, and I just wonder what his ceiling is going to be, you know, as a player. He's only 19, you know. When he gets stronger in 2 years or 3 years, what kind of player is he going to be? Is the offense going to come for him? You know, it's going to be interesting to see as he grows.
Yeah, because you see, Paul, like, he gets opportunities, and there's a lot of instances where, you know, another player you might think, okay, just walk in and shoot it. And Benson, he very often will pass up good shot opportunities, but it's probably because he's smart enough to know that he doesn't really have a very good shot right now. And you do kind of see that. And that's kind of impossible to know right now, isn't it? That his ceiling is going to be reliant on how good is he going to be at finishing these chances and consistently being these playmaking areas too, offensively, like he does last night with Thompson. And I don't know if there's a good way to gauge that until we kind of see what his body's like. You know, like how much stronger can he get? How much, you know, bigger? And he already wins battles at an amazing rate for his size. You know, it's to me just more about how much better can he be at finishing and in some of those traits.
There was a play last night that exactly what you're talking about. The Ottawa coughed the puck up in the middle right to him. And he came down the slot and took a shot. And
the Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a shot that it was like, oh, wow, it almost scored there. You know, it just was kind of a normal shot that he did, and you know, at least he took the shot because he was open and came down the slot. It was actually a nice pass by the Senators right to him, and you know, he took the shot, but it kind of illustrated what you're talking about. The shot really wasn't close to being a goal.
Paul Hamilton with us. Paul, another strong effort by James Reimer. His numbers on the season look pretty good. There's two good games back-to-back. And is that the first time all year they would have played him in two consecutive games? Like, do you feel like they might just keep rolling with him as long as he's playing well?
Yeah, they played him 3 out of 4. He stopped 90 out of 98 shots, you know, and done a really nice job. I mean, he faced over 30 shots in all three starts. So, if they were 4 points out of the playoffs, yeah, Reimer should be starting, and they should be riding him right till it, you know, it doesn't work anymore. But I don't see where they are in the standings right now. I just don't see the point of it. He's 37 years old, and he's earned it, and I know you should get what you earn, but for where the franchise is right now, I just don't see how that helps the Buffalo Sabres. I think Luukkonen has got to play, and you hope that maybe he can, you know, figure out how to get himself back to where he was last year. And you know, Luukkonen and Levi are the future, and it's not James Reimer at 37 years of age. So from where the Sabres are right now, and you know, I just don't see the point of using a lot of James Reimer, and I think you have to let Luukkonen get in there and see if he can get himself back to where he was last year.
Yep. Lindy's 600th win with the Sabres last night, Paul, only the second coach ever to do that, Al Arbor, the other. And he got into a little bit in postgame about kind of the future. Did he sound to you like saying that he wants to get it right, getting the franchise turned around, and kind of reflecting on this season a little bit too, that he might sound like he's ready to do this again next year? Because I know that's been a question with fans, like, will he even want to do it again next year? And did he sound to you at all like he's gonna wanna?
Yeah, his quote was, you know, he said, "I'm a guy from day one that always thinks I can fix everything, and I haven't been able to fix everything, and it's been a disappointment for me." And then he said, "I really want to get this right and to turn this around." And, you know, I know he dearly would love to win a championship for Buffalo. I mean, this is his home now, and it has been since he was a coach the first time, even when he left. And, you know, he would still come back here in summertime. And you know, he would dearly love to win a championship here. And it really grates on him. You can tell just all year long that this is grated on him. That, well, using his words, he hasn't been able to fix this. And, you know, he feels that they've made some progress recently, and, you know, as he said, he wants to get this right, and he wants to get this turned around. And so, yeah, he does sound like a guy that wants to, quote, finish the job.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Thank you, Paul. Opening day tomorrow. What are the Yankees' vibes? Is it not good because of Cole?
Yeah, and, you know, they've lost a good bat in Stanton. They've lost Cole. Yeah, that's not good vibes at all. Well, there have been a few games played. They were not in this country,
right?
The opening day for everybody else is coming up.
Yeah, do we still call tomorrow opening day, even though the season began a week ago?
I was thinking, that's why I've been hearing people talk about opening day, and I'm saying, well,
they already opened.
Yeah, okay, opening day in North America, we could say that.
Right.
But yeah, they've already had kind of opening day.
Right. 3:05 tomorrow for Brewers and Yankees. Thank you, Paul.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. The Sabres will play Ovechkin in the Capitals this weekend as he still sits 6 goals away from the record. Next up for the Sabres, though, is going to be tomorrow night against the Penguins, who have had a terrible season. And they've tried a lot to win.
Veterans, they have definitely
Carlson,
tried.
And their season has completely gone off the rails. The Sabres, by the way, bottom of the standings. I don't think this year really matters all that much for this because there might be a break in the draft around like 4 or 5, depends who you talk to on that. Right now, the Sabres are 4th from the bottom in the NHL. And again, like first overall might not be that much different than 3rd or 4th. They're 4th from the bottom. They're 1 point back of Philly and 2 points back of Seattle. So they could very easily get to 6th from the bottom. Again, this is not like a lottery that's worth rooting for them to lose these games. But
I would argue
at this point, you might still just rather they finish first.
I'd like them to have a higher pick, and they absolutely should not use it. They should trade it.
Top 5
trade
pick?
The damn pick.
Don't we say that every year and they never actually do it, though?
No, they never do it. But they should trade the damn pick.
They should. I agree with that. 8030550 is the phone number. A anniversary for the Sabres. 10 years. Since a very infamous night that took place in the arena. Get to that when we come back.